Welcome back to Made in the 80s, podcast about the 80s by people who are made in the 80s. I'm your host, Shalia, and we have...
Tim.
And Kendon.
Made in the 80s crew welcomes you back. Oh, what's wrong, Kendon? I just got a face from across the room.
You always start your sentence before I finish my name.
What is your name?
Kendon.
Okay, try it again. I'm here. Tim's here.
And Kendon.
Welcome back to Made in the 80s.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're in good moods. We got some fun Richard Pryor this week. Mm-hmm. Live on the Sunset Strip.
1982.
And I'm going to make a joke that I made earlier to see if I can do it again. What is it called? Pull it off. Before we get to that, mm-hmm. we're going to get this show on the Sunset Strip road.
No.
I don't think I appreciate can do the attempt, it again.
Though. Yeah, you're good.
I might try it again later.
Okay.
We'll see if it works.
Did Richard kind of inspire you to see if you can just off the cuff joke around?
Mm-hmm. Okay. A little bit. All right, guys. Before we get to that, what's the news?
Not a whole lot of news this week. A new story about, we've heard the story before, but I just think it's funny that Bryan Singer did not allow X-Men comics on the set for X-Men.
Did we talk about this before?
I mean, it's been a new story before.
Why would you not let the comics on the set? Like, they're banned from the set?
Who knows? But guess who snuck comics on the set?
Who?
Kevin Feige.
Who's that?
The guy who runs Marvel Studios.
It's like, fuck you. That's what I want.
Yeah, he did that.
He's like, you are making a comic book movie. That
he's going to be helming the new X-Men stuff over for Disney and Marvel. So, but yeah, I just think it's ridiculous.
It's really weird.
Yeah, it's a very weird thing to do.
Yeah. Well, sitting on that same track, it's news kind of. We talked about when Ava DuVernay was signed up to do New Gods and working with Warner Brothers. And then some of the news this week is that there's an actual contract with money involved. Because I think we were talking about how they just kind of... there's always, director's going to do this. And then, nope, that director's not on that anymore. Yeah. And I don't know if they always sign contracts with money attached. Mm-hmm. But this week... with money attached to her, it made it seem a little bit more likely that, yes, she's actually going to direct this.
Okay.
Yeah? Is that a reasonable thought?
She's got a whatever picture deal with Warner Brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it may not be New Gods. It could be something else he ends up doing if New Gods doesn't work out.
Yeah.
So still be able to make movies and products and film with them.
Based on this contract now... percent likelihood that she's going to make something for Warner Brothers that actually gets produced.
100%.
100%. It's something. Happening now.
That's something. Exciting. Yeah, and it's good to see women, especially women of color, get those kind of looks that other people get to get a long-term deal, get some security. I imagine it's probably easier to create in that space where you know you don't have to worry about what's my next project. You can settle in on having like some longevity, some assurances that you can sort of knock and sit down and create.
Absolutely. You can, I mean, it's hard enough to create, right?
Yeah.
And like hope that you have the right ideas and that everything like clicks.
Yeah.
Like writer's block seems awful. I'm always scared. Like I used to think about going into the arts and being like, man, what if I run out of ideas and then what?
You're creating under the pressure if I got a mortgage to pay.
Yeah, better. Exactly.
But like, that's why you get people who do these projects. You're like, why'd you do that project? Like, oh yeah, you got kids in school.
Yeah,
I get it.
You're a person too. So so it's hard enough. And then having the question of the stability of whether you're going to get paid and whether it's going to even pick up what you're creating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And being backed by somebody like Warner Brothers is probably helpful too.
Yeah, good for her. Kendon, did you have any news?
Is this my third in a row Chick-fil-A news?
Yeah, so let's start practicing. This is not real, friends, so don't get us in trouble. But we are brought to you today by Chick-fil-A.
We could do Kendon news from Kendon sponsored by Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, news from Kendon sponsored by Chick-fil-A.
Which one of you guys sent me this one?
I did.
Yeah, so South Center, right?
Yeah.
South Center is getting a Chick-fil-A.
No, not South Center. Renton. It's going to be by our Fred Meyer.
You're right, Yeah, down by our Fred Meyer.
It's close.
Oh, man, you guys, this is about to be dangerous. Because, like, it's too much to go to Bellevue just for Chick-fil-A.
There's an LA Fitness by there, though, so.
Yeah, but I got the IMA. Just for our friends who might not know, the IMA is the Intramural Activities Building at the University of Washington. So basically the gym.
It's amazing.
It's a massive gym.
It's got a rock wall and a swimming pool. And indoor tracks. Full access, full free. because it comes out of his tuition no matter what. And I'm so jealous.
I went to Shake Shack for the first time.
What's that?
Oh, yeah. It's like a burger place, right?
Yeah. I had chicken, though. The spicy chicken sandwich.
I fully, like, approve of replacing a burger with chicken.
It was a long line, but they had fast service. It's over down in South Lake Union, kind of by where you guys used to live, by Whole Foods.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you call it half-ass service?
No, fast.
Oh,
fast service.
Is it super so? There's fast. Lunchbox Laboratory took over our favorite spot over there, but that was like in our little like group area. But this is closer to Whole Foods.
Yeah, it's like right, like a block north.
Okay, cool.
Northwest,
towards the Chipotle.
It sounds like maybe towards the Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme across the street.
What? There's not Krispy Kreme.
Einstein. Bagels, maybe? Anyway.
Remember that rent-a-car place used to be?
Uh-huh.
It's right across the street from there.
Do you know how I know that rental place?
Did you rent a car from there and wreck it?
No.
No, she wrecked a car that was not a rental.
Oh, no.
Why is this negative? No, it's a positive memory. One of our, or actually three, like our mutual friends was getting married, and so the bachelorette party was... We rented a van from that place.
Oh, I remember that story.
And it was like a big passenger van. Like, I don't even know if we had windows.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was so smart.
Yeah, smart.
One driver for all of us.
Smart. Protecting yourself. We talked about this before we recorded. Be smart enough to protect yourself.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It was such a good idea. And it was cheap. Like, cheap. With all of us chipping in, it was cheap. Not fancy. It was not a limo. It was
Did you from A to B without getting a DUI?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I did injure myself that night, but not because of the car we were in. Yeah. Okay, so Chick-fil-A, Kendon, super excited?
Extremely super excited.
So it's like a few minutes away.
Yeah.
Meanwhile...
What, a 10, 15?
Not even that.
I mean, it's... Yeah. I'd say 10 for us.
I mean, it's already like 7 to get to the freeway.
Oh.
Okay. If we're taking MLK all the way down.
I mean, you could take Rainier all the way down.
Yeah.
Yeah, either way.
Just becomes...
Yeah.
So,
or Renton Ave?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Renton, you have to take a right at, like, what, the McDonald's?
Yeah.
Versus the other, like, Rainier just becomes it. Yeah. And then MLK does, too.
Actually, yeah, MLK goes the entire direction.
Yeah, from Myers just right to the right. It's going to suck when all the traffic happens, but it's a good area for it. They have a big parking lot.
They're going
to
clean out, too. Renton High School is right there. They're going to clean up.
Man, they are. Now, we last week talked about delivery. Do you think we're in that radius for delivery?
No. Nah, still too far.
Still too far?
Yeah.
No, actually, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Good for them.
Good for them. All good right. for you. Oh, also, we talked about burger places last week, too. So you went to Shake Shack. The place that we were talking about was Yard House. Is that the place with the good turkey burger?
Yes.
Yeah. Yard House. I remembered it right after. Like, dang it.
Yard House is a good turkey burger.
Yeah. I was like, ooh.
And good tacos. Good tacos there, too.
During editing, like, can I just fix it? No.
Yeah, you totally can.
Nope, I'm not forging the content.
Forging.
The content is staying pure. That place has good food. And it also has a lot of vegetarian options, which is nice for me.
Yeah.
I don't really love all of them, like the fake chicken wings or something. I don't know what they have. Like, it's fake meat stuff.
Yeah.
I don't love it, but I appreciate that they have options. Okay. So that's the news.
Mm-hmm.
What have you guys been up to?
Since we last spoke, I saw Creed 2, which I enjoyed. We've done Rocky 4, Rocky 3. So lots of nods to Rocky 3.
We're not going to.
Okay.
All right.
So the film structure is essentially structured like Rocky 2, a bit of Rocky 2 and some of Rocky 3, but the characters and the motivation is very much Rocky 4. And so they kind of meshed them together. Tessa's great in it. Love me some Tessa Thompson. She's good in it. Michael B. Jordan's fine. The guy who plays Ivan Drago's son is a beast. I would never fight him.
No.
He's good. Florane something. He goes by Big Nasty.
Do they,
it makes sense why he gets that nickname.
Realistically make it seem like they could be in the same weight class?
Yeah, he dropped weight. And okay. MBJ put on weight.
Because Michael B. is nowhere, like from what I can tell, nowhere the size of Carl Weathers, right?
No. No, but it's believable enough.
Okay.
Much time passes between the end of Creed and the beginning of Creed 2?
They say he's gotten 6 fights and then he fights for the title.
Okay. How long does that usually take?
Anywhere from like 2-3 years, probably. Okay. 3.5 years.
2 fights a year?
Well, 2 fights. You can do 2 fights a year. Let's say you've got 6 fights since the last time we've seen him, and now he's fighting for the title.
Actually, when did Creed come out? 2015? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's contemporary.
Yeah.
Nice. I like it. Do you guys remember watching Creed? Oh, you weren't there. But me and Kendon and Josh did. That's when Tim met Ashley.
No, that wasn't. It was Creed.
Because we were watching Creed. Oh, yeah. We go to Star Wars. Yeah.
That's funny.
That was a great day. Okay. Kendon, what are you up to?
I've been watching a new YouTuber.
Oh.
His name is, hold on, CGP Grey. And he just, he has just all of these explanatory videos. It started off with explaining, like, the history of behind the Lord of the Rings, like where did the One Ring come from and not Sauron and all this, and then he has other ones like the what's the difference between the United Kingdom, Great Britain, and England, bizarre borders, what is federal land, and the rules for rulers is actually really insightful, and it kind of, I mean, it might depress you a little bit, but it's like it shows the two different like. Ends of the spectrum as far as leaders. One of them, like, if you want to be an autocrat, like, this is what you have to do. And if you want to be like a democratic representative, this is what you have to do. But really what the main point is your keys to power. And he's like, no one person rules alone. And the keys to power are usually like the business people, the military, bankers, like you have to make these people happy. And if you don't, that's usually when revolutions happen, and why when revolutions happen, they tend to be worse the next guy, because really that next guy, the only reason why the revolution happened is because the current ruler lost the trust or the loyalty of the key of his keys to power. Mm-hmm. And so it's like always the same people who are bringing the next person over. And he was making an interesting point. So if you live somewhere where the wealth comes out of the ground, then you're usually like you're basically screwed, because you don't really like all of the wealth comes right much more directly to the ruler, and they can disperse it. Excuse me. They can disperse it directly to their keys. But the interesting thing is in democracies or more like countries more like ours, where there's a higher education and stuff like that, the wealth comes from the productivity of the citizens, right? So that's why you're less likely to have revolutions. So, anyways.
So true. Freshman year, like, poli-sci, whatever my first quarter poli-sci thing I remember most about that.
I know what you're about to say. It's a little rhyme, isn't it?
No bourgeoisie, no democracy.
Yeah.
Also, stagnation prevents innovation.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
And then after that, he has some good ones about like different voting types, and then how to keep power. One of them was he shows how gerrymandering works, and then I don't know.
Interesting. What's his name again?
What did I say? CGP Grey.
All right.
And then I found out from like one of my students that he has a podcast. And it's called Hello Internet, and I just started an episode, so I can report back after I, see how I like it.
Yeah, let us know what you think. All right, so what I've been up to, I'm going to start with the most exciting first. I have 3 things, warning. One, I've been watching University of Washington Huskies win the Pac-12 championship, and we're going to the Rose Bowl!
Go Dogs!
Go Huskies, go.
Do you know our fight song?
Huskies. Fight on for Henry Foss. Nope. bow down to Washington.
That's it.
Yeah.
They do it every game.
Yeah.
How do you not know it?
No. I expected that she knows. I don't know until I hear.
They do it every game.
They do. And they sing along, and it's hard. It's a hard song to sing.
It's not fun.
In my opinion, it's not that great.
No.
I like the beginning of it.
I like that. Bow down is the best part.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's number one. So exciting.
Really?
Why wouldn't it be exciting?
The Rose Bowl's not going to be a fun game for them.
Why do you think that?
They might have to play Ohio State.
Who cares? We'll be drunk.
Ohio State's really good. So you don't want to
watch. It'll be fun.
You don't want to watch a 62-14 stomping of the Huskies. You don't want to watch that. And Jake Browning's last game. Praise God for that, though. Praise God.
Oh my God, the look on Julia's face. You just like stole her lunch. She's so sad.
I like UW's team, but Ohio State, they just scored 62 on the best defense in the college football. Like it was nothing.
Okay, so this is a little problematic because we were planning to drive down there, and then I started thinking about we should maybe fly because of the passes. It's not a great drive, but maybe that was going to be a tough lift.
Are you okay going and watching them lose? That's something to be okay with. If you're okay with going and watching, and that's for anyone.
Hold on. You're going to support your team one way or another, not just to see them win.
Here's the problem with that, Kendon. It's all cute until you're all dressed up in your gear and your team's getting mud stomped.
And then I'm the one crying on TV and they're like, oh, look at these people.
And so also depends on what kind of sports fan you are. Like my friend Albert went to see UW play Ohio State one time in Columbus. And they got whooped. And he was like the lone guy in like purple in his section. And everyone was like, it's okay, man. It's fine. It's early in the season. Like, you don't want to deal with that.
Well, we'll be with friends. We're going in a group, but still.
Go with the group, but just be, for any sports fan traveling, just be comfortable with the fact that if this doesn't go my way, am I in a place where I can still have fun?
Jeez, I'm going to cry in public. Right, I'm going to cry in public.
Am I going to be okay if this gets ugly early?
Yeah.
Am I okay if it's a heartbreaking last second field goal loss? Like, if you're okay with all those things out in public, then it's fine.
Of course, Kendon is. He doesn't even watch the game.
Yeah, it's not true. I watch a quarter to a third of the game.
You're not as emotionally invested.
Right, that's exactly. Don't get so emotionally invested. Go to have fun.
You are looking at me.
But it's hard. You know your wife better than I do. It's going to be hard for her to have fun.
No, actually, I think what you're doing right now is a service. Let her know that it is quite possible that they're going to get stomped by
Ohio State University.
40 points. Now, get that in there and say, I don't care. We're going to the Rose Bowl again.
Yeah, it's a fun place.
It's been, a decade? I don't remember. Yeah. Like it's been a long time. It's in LA.
We went to college. Yeah, we haven't been to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. 2000. We're going on a road trip, get an Airbnb.
This is our first time actually doing it.
It's the beginning of the year. It's festive still. It's LA.
It's New Year's, isn't it?
The weather would be great down there. There's probably people you know down there. Okay. You can kick it for a couple of days.
It's just that I have family in town and I have work and it's going to be expensive. Okay. So maybe it's not worth it.
No. Plan your trip so that you have a buffer after the game to do fun stuff. So you don't leave on a bad note. So we've got two more days after
California
this game
adventure.
To do some fun things while we're down here.
Isn't that the good one? Or is the people like adults like California Adventure?
Like California Adventure. Yeah. That's where they have the Little Mermaid ride.
Yeah. What you don't want to do is have them lose, go back to your hotel, pack, and get on the plane, come back home.
Okay.
Or get right into the car and start driving for the next one.
Yeah, don't do that.
18 hours?
So give a buffer for that. Whatever that buffer is, give it.
All right. Okay, other Husky fans, you had the advice. We'll figure out what happens. All right, so that was number one. Number two, I got to finally watch Crazy Rich Asians.
And? Oh, I thought you were going to hold off on that one.
Nope, I'm talking about it right now. It was fun. Did you cry? I liked it.
Okay.
Did I cry? No.
The wedding sequence, the talk with the mother when they're playing Pai Gao at the end.
No. It was very
So is Pai Gao different than
Mahjong?
Mahjong?
Wait, were they playing Mahjong? Mahjong? Oh, sorry, my bad. Wrong game.
Okay.
So, no, I mean, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Do you like the main guy?
Yeah, I mean, it was very okay, perfect person.
Women liked him because he's kind of tallish.
Yeah.
And British and handsome in person. So it was a lot of women swooning over him when he was here.
Yeah. He's famous on the internet for sure.
Yeah.
People love him. I liked all of the really pretty clothing and made me really want to be rich.
They made Singapore look fun.
Quick interjection. Do you remember at some point where I'm famous on the internet was kind of more of a joke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now if you're not famous on the internet, you're not really famous.
Yeah, really popping. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I watched it might have been that TMZ Follow This. I'm not sure if it was or not. Yeah. With Carmé. And it was Instagram stars and these kids in high school that are famous. And they go to all of these places and have
influencers, what they call them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now there's micro influencers.
Yeah. God. And you have kids coming can I have your autograph? And I'm going to take a picture with you. And it's crazy. And one of them, the mom is just talking about. Anyway, that's an aside. Yeah. So, okay. So Crazy Rich Asians, really good. Basically, it was, it seemed to me like the rich Asian version of Monster in Law.
Yeah. Just
like, yeah. So it was kind of a not, I didn't know anything about the storyline, so I was kind of surprised mm-hmm. by that, but I liked it. It was fun.
Yeah. I don't know how he hid his wealth for that long.
Yeah.
Just like if I could imagine someone who's been wealthy their whole life, like completely changing their behavior so no one knows they're wealthy. Because wealthy people do wealthy stuff and they talk about things in a way that normal people who have to worry about money don't talk about.
I don't know. Like
really wealthy people, if you've been wealthy your whole life and you're just like I remember talking to this person who I won't name, who works at this studio, and we're having a very fun conversation about movies. Mm-hmm. And they're like, man, it was really fun talking to you. Hey, we're having a party in south of France next week. If you can make it. That's what I'm talking about. Like, those, like for them, that's just what we do. We're going to south of France. If you can make it next week, come through. Come hang out with us.
So I don't know the background of like those sort of people that I've met or interacted with, but I feel like those who are from the Northwest, like they tend to seem more down to earth.
I don't know if that's true.
Not yes, you can be down to earth, but the things you have access to, the things you do, are norms to you.
Right. No, there's that, but you can then easily pass. Like, I don't know if either of those was there when they were telling the story, but I was talking to somebody about that, and there was like some guy was yelling at some other guy on the sidewalk because he like looked like he was dressed for like a bum or something. Like he was just like, you need to go. And the guy was like, okay. And then he got in his Ferrari and drove off.
Yeah.
Like there's That's people different. Here with like money who just, you don't That's different quite know. Again. And what you're saying is that that character, he acts in such a way that she never knew he was rich. And I think that we have those sort of people here.
But I'm not talking about new money. I'm talking, so in the story, he's been wealthy since he was a child. So he's grown up in this wealth. So I'm talking about people who've grown in wealth. I think there's a behavior. And it's in them subconsciously, because that's the life they know.
I see it as like the Gossip Girl kids. Like they're all pretty freaking rich and they like fly all over the place. Here's my theory of how he hit it for so long.
Gossip Girls.
Yeah. Well, Kendon got me on Gossip Girl. Don't have it.
Yeah, the first like two seasons of that show, man, were pretty good.
All right.
He's a sucker for teenage dramas. So
yes,
yeah.
Yes, he is.
So my theory for how he got away with it is that he was in school. They met when he was in school. So he wasn't necessarily traveling a whole bunch because he was studying and had class. Yeah. And so like it's a little bit different time of your life when you're kind of pinned to a certain area.
Right.
So that's my theory of how he hit that. But yeah, no, it's kind of crazy. Yeah. It's
wait,
crazy.
Wait, that's your theory on how he hit that?
What? The certain life people live in school that's very insulated. That
cut it out. Never mind.
What's the joke?
I hit that.
No, hid.
Oh. Yeah, cut that out.
Kenan with the dirty joke that just didn't go well. It's fine. Oh. It's good, though.
What is it? Crashed and burned.
Are we ready to talk about this?
No, I have one more thing.
Oh, one more thing.
These are my quick things, but you guys definitely want to talk about them.
Wait. Is it the thing that we did together?
No.
Okay.
Okay. My third thing is Luke Cage. I finally finished second season of Luke Cage.
What did you think?
I really enjoyed it. There were a lot of episodes. I thought I was done, and then this might be a spoiler. So somebody, if you haven't seen it and you care, do your earmuffs for like 2 seconds. I'll give you time for it right now. Okay, so Iron Fist shows up. And like I was like, am I in season 3 now? Like I thought I was in a whole new season. Like what's going on? And I was surprised because I actually liked him. So then
he's much better in that series.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was so much better. And I never watched season 2, so now I'm actually interested in jumping in and seeing if he's that guy in season 2.
Yeah, he's definitely more comfortable in the character.
Two of the things that you just said like seem. First of all, you said you felt like. Oh, like there were a lot of episodes, and I feel like that's the Netflix thing with these. You always like, there seems like there's a lot of episodes. Yeah. And then you're like, dude, I move on to another season. And that's how I felt with Daredevil season 2, because you had all of the Punisher stuff, And then it moved all into the hand stuff, and it felt like two different stories with almost a dividing point.
Yeah, and this one, it ends up like pulling itself back in. It's not detached, but yeah, it was very like, oh, am I in season three now? Mm-hmm. And then I got so into it that I was excited. I was like, it was one of those where it's like, oh yes, another treat. Like, is this the last episode? No, another one. All right, like I was excited. Then was like, okay, I just finished season two. Let's start season three, and realized, oh shit, that's the one that got canceled.
They all got canceled.
Yeah, well,
Daredevil just got canceled too.
Canceled.
I thought that season three was out, and then after that, there's no more. I thought there was a whole nother season I hadn't seen yet.
So this maybe should have made it into news, but apparently they said that even though they canceled Daredevil, there's still going to be some Daredevil adventures, quote unquote.
Yeah.
To answer what one other thing Shalia, you were saying, Iron Fist showed up. He and Luke Cage are heroes for hire, right?
Correct.
So that might be why he would be in there, because at least initially that. Before they this whole thing was is coming apart now because of the Disney thing, I guess. But initially, that would have been a show that you would have wanted to have.
Could you see Disney Plus bringing a Heroes for Hire show together?
Yes.
I don't. Not with the current characters that we've known.
Why not?
I don't know the industry the way you do. You think they can just transplant that whole production, all of those actors, all of that
in and out? Like, they don't all have to be in every episode. Show. Yeah, it's a different show. I could totally see it.
So this is it's a different show. So if you're doing them together as a duo, it's a different show. So it could look and feel different.
Yeah, but you're going to have the same leads, right? Yeah, and the same supporting characters?
If you want to.
Okay. I guess basically what I'm saying is The Expanse got canceled on Sci-Fi.
Got picked up by Amazon.
But I got picked up by Amazon. So it's the same show. So are you talking about like that, or kind of reconstructing something out of some of the parts?
It sounds to me like a potpourri. You're picking out elements from all of these standalones, and you're having basically more Defenders, but with a different plot or scenario that you want.
Yeah. 100%. Okay.
I think I can see them doing that. And it makes sense to me, because sometimes it's what I just said about Luke Cage in season two and enjoying it, and despite how long it was, or appreciating how long it was, not all of the other seasons for the other shows have been that way for me. Like, they have gone too long. So
I'm looking forward to watching Daredevil season three with you. Or did you already watch it?
Maybe.
It's good.
To answer your earlier question, I think I could see that happening, because outside of Star Wars, Disney has been making like good decisions.
Yes, Disney has been making good decisions outside of Star Wars, although I think they're making good decisions in Star Wars, too. I've been enjoying them.
You liked Han Solo?
It was just called Solo. Yeah. And I did. It was all right. Yeah, it was fun. I watched it again recently on purpose. I think on an airplane, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. We watched it on an airplane together.
All right, you guys, let's get this show on the Sunset Strip.
Better.
Road.
Better.
Right.
It's worse once you guys try to describe it.
Okay.
Can I trust you?
Here's some lines. Richard Pryor, live on the Sunset Strip.
All right, so Richard Pryor, 1982, top of his game?
He's close. First of all, before we get started, happy birthday, Richard Pryor. Today is his actual birthday.
What? We're recording on Richard Pryor's birthday?
December 1st.
That was not...
Happy birthday to you. Is he still alive?
No, he passed 2005.
2005?
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Oh, that's awesome.
So, happy birthday,
Richard Pryor. But that wasn't planned, so that's actually really cool.
Yeah, it's his birthday. This was 1982. Richard had gone through a lot.
Yeah. That's why I think that's why when you asked if he was at the top of his game, he's like, he did light himself on fire.
Which he talks about. Yeah. And he was, you know, the 70s where I think where he really rose in his comedic, the height of his comedic powers. And he went through some real life personal tragedies and highs, like legitimately high, and some low lows. And this is him. I think what we see is this sort of 60-minute set is him talking about that and how he's come out of it, which is really therapeutic to listen to as you're watching him go through this routine where he's, it's all sort of blended with jokes, yeah. but he's talking about what happened to him. And then, you know, he starts talking about the audience and how he saw the people making fun of him. Mm-hmm. He's aware of that. And he was also, he does this very sweet thing where he talks about them helping him get through this.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, this is, I don't remember ever being, I've seen this before, but I didn't remember it ever being this touching.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Having watched it now.
It's very, he's being open. He's just talking about what happened, mm-hmm. which is so nice. It's like, don't try to dodge it. Address the elephant in the room. Yeah. Talk about it. We're people. It's mm-hmm. interesting. And it's cool that you got out of it.
He has that quality that I really like in stand-up where he's not mean-spirited.
No.
Yes.
And yeah. it's not just that he's self-deprecating. Like, there are some people who are like, I mean, I guess I have to bring him up, but like, Louis C.K.
Yeah.
He's so much about self-deprecation.
Yeah.
But this, to me, is much more like self-reflection.
Yes.
And awareness.
And like...
Self-awareness.
And like, mm-hmm. the audience is kind of part of my family or my friend. Yeah. Like,
we're having a conversation.
We're just... Yeah. He's such a natural, which is not really a real thing, right? Everything is always practice, work, hard work. But he comes across as such a natural yeah. that it's very, very enjoyable. And I really feel like I see a lot, and I remember this from back when, but I feel like with Dave Chappelle, I see like a direct line of influence.
Yes.
In the storytelling style. Of, like, there's basically no straight up jokes.
No.
No, he's just talking.
No punchlines.
Uh-uh. Mm-hmm. He's just going.
He's telling these very funny stories.
Like, that's the difference. Like, I always liked Chris Rock and I liked Dave Chappelle. But like, when I listen, Dave Chappelle is just telling some stories, like, and they turn out to be funny stories, and then Chris Rock is usually, he's like doing setup and punchline sort yeah. of things.
That works, but also it's a different way of doing comedy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but it's like you don't know what he's doing, like that he's doing it to you. He's just telling a story, and you're like, oh, that's funny, and then at some point I'm like, this all couldn't have happened, right? Yeah. Like, the mafia part was real funny. Hey, this kid. Hey, tell him there's a stick up.
I hope that was true. Some of it. I really.
Some part of it has to be, right?
I really hope.
The best lie. I wonder if jokes are the same way they say it, the best lies are as close to the truth as possible mm-hmm. or based on the truth. So I'm assuming that a lot of these really funny stories that these sort of comedians tell are like some sort of exaggeration on something that really happened.
Yeah, it reminds me of that Jamie Foxx story about LL Cool J.
What's that story?
That they were doing Any Given Sunday, and in the scene where both characters race, like, LL Cool J is supposed to, one of them is supposed to win, and the other one just kept beating him, and it became this like this thing on set, and it got into a big fight. So it's probably very exaggerated.
You got into a fight about it?
Yeah.
It's like, probably really exaggerated. I'm supposed to win. Stop yeah. racing me.
Do you know what that's making me think of, though, right now? It's Michael Vick.
Yeah. For sure.
Friends, that's from Atlanta.
Sometimes
that's from
you
Atlanta.
Got a stunt. Sometimes yeah. But yeah, but just the idea that there's some truth to it. I really enjoyed him talking about his relationship with this crack pipe.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That like, was really, just come over here.
Yeah.
We'll Let's just hang out. Out.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Wait, I'm half empty.
I don't like that. Better.
Hanging out in the room together for days.
Yeah, having conversations.
Yeah, having conversations.
Man, all right. So,
that's crazy.
So how do you guys want to talk about this? Do you want to go about favorite parts? Do you want
to... I mean, I had to watch it in two parts. I'll just talk about the parts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do it.
Oh, I mean, we can.
Okay, so we could go in order and we could talk about each of those things, or we could just talk about our favorite things. And yeah. I have a list of stuff, so if we didn't hit it, I can like pull it okay. in. All right, so let's do it. So how about we just start from favorite things? Mm-hmm. It's usually what we do at some point. So Kenan, you were the one who decided to have us do this this week. It was your idea to do stand-up, and you specifically ended up saying this one.
Yeah, I should have just said this one from the beginning.
Yeah, so okay, tell us your favorite portion.
Okay, so full disclosure, I actually conflated this one with two different ones. And I don't remember what the other one is called, but my mom had that on LP. I keep saying that. She had it on vinyl growing up. And that's the one where he talks about shooting his car. Do you know that one?
Yeah.
And Josh, one of our former hosts, Josh, our friend, my mom used to would play that for us a couple of times. And I remember that every time he cursed, not every time, every time it started skipping, it would skip on like a curse word. And we were like in middle school, so we thought it was really funny that he would just repeat like motherfucker or whatever over and over and over. So anyways, the two main stories that I really remember liking is him shooting his car and him letting himself on fire. And I somehow thought they were in the same stand-up.
Okay. But you chose the one where he did light himself on fire.
Yeah.
So so that you appreciate that about this. Yeah. Tell us about it. What did you appreciate? What's funny about
well,
it?
Well, all the lead-up, the whole story and how it's really... Like, it's just... Like, take out the crowd. Take out his good humor about it. It's a sad story. Basically, I spent a lot of time in a room or in a house smoking crack. And then I had an accident, lit myself on fire, went to the hospital, and had to have my skin, like, peeled off with a sponge almost. Mm-hmm. Or the that's awful. But that's not the way I think about it. Yeah. I don't know if any of us came away from it thinking about that.
It's an awful experience.
It's an awful experience. But I'd say the very, very best part of it, because I didn't realize this only came at the end, is just the mic drop of when he lights the...
Yeah.
The match. So, what's this? Richard Pryor running on fire. Or what did he say? Richard Pryor on fire.
Yeah.
And then it's over.
Yeah.
That's his closing.
That's a great closing. So, that was probably my favorite. That's why I picked it. But there's more stuff I like that we can get to later.
Okay. So, a couple questions about that bit. First of all, what is freebasing?
It's a way to
smoke crack. Smoke
crack or meth. Heroin. You can freebase heroin.
Okay. So,
it's like when you're lighting the open rock.
Mm-hmm. And you're smoking it because like he also made it like a comment to the dealer during this bit about I'm gonna snort it, and they're like, okay, you're gonna snort it, but like versus freebasing it was with a pipe. Can you freebase cocaine, or if you're freebasing, it's got to be crack?
Yes, I don't think you freebase cocaine.
You can smoke powder. Cocaine.
You can put cocaine in something to smoke.
Yeah. Okay. But I think that is the purpose of. Like, formulating it into crack is so that you can then freebase it.
All right,
so
but it has a bunch of other stuff in it that makes it not as lethal and way more addictive.
So we...
Hold on. We cannot keep doing that. I'm almost 100% sure, and I should just say 100% sure, that they have proved that it is not more addictive than powder cocaine.
Huh?
So we want to maybe stop that
narrative.
All right, so... So when he's talking about freebasing, though, he is talking about crack.
Yeah.
All right.
You remember the Whitney, though? Mm-hmm. What did you say? Crack is for
crack is
people.
Whack.
Yeah.
Crack is whack. Show me the receipts.
Okay, so that's... Thank you for answering that question.
She was high during that interview, by the way. Yeah.
That's not fair. Like, don't just so
we're clear. She was high during that interview. She looked bad, man.
I know.
They covered that in that Whitney documentary, and it's just like, ah.
Is it out already?
Yeah, it came out this summer.
They were doing a biopic too, right?
I hope not. I don't want to see that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, going back to my questions on the bit. Mm-hmm. What actually happened that he got burnt? I don't understand what. Like, he's like, I'm gonna tell you how it happened, and he says he like mixed some things and it blew up. I don't understand what happened.
He probably just burned himself smoking.
His whole body? Like, was he on... Did he have
probably
kerosene?
Burned his clothes on.
Yeah, I think there's some sort of flammable...
He's high.
Yeah.
He's on a crack bender, high out of his mind. And who knows what happened to him on fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
I admit that when that part came through, I was like, I didn't quite catch all the details of it, too.
He probably doesn't get all the details.
But what you just said... He's been days, weeks high. He's not careful.
In a room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it's true that his first time freebasing, he burnt himself and he should have known?
Probably.
Did burn himself the first time?
But kind of funny is one of the things I really loved about is his hair.
Yeah.
It was so shiny.
Mm-hmm. His afro?
His mini afro. And that's making me think maybe it was activator or something.
But
his head's not, like, his face wasn't burnt.
You're high in a room for days.
Shalia, you're right, though. Like, he doesn't have patchy.
Yeah, I don't think it's...
No, I think he is scarred. His face looks...
Really? His face looked pretty good to me. They talk about like his neck burns and like his body. I didn't think his face was
something about his face looked to me like it had gone through something. Like as opposed to, I mean, it could have been years on crack.
Yeah.
But like
it does have a way of aging you like an avocado, yes.
But like his movies in the 70s, Superman I think he 3. Looked much. Superman 3 was an 80s movie.
Yeah, he was in that.
Okay. So that's.
We'll get to Superman 3 and 4.
Oh, okay. Quest for Peace.
So, I thought that movie was so cool when I was a kid.
So going back to this bit on him burning himself.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I thought was really funny was when he was just like, why me? Because apparently this isn't something that, if you're believing him, this is not something that happens to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so why he's got to be the one where that happened to him.
Yeah.
Okay, so also during this bit, he talks about Jim Brown being his friend and Jim Brown coming back. And we've already done a movie with Jim Brown in it. One?
Mm-hmm.
I think only one.
Mm-hmm.
Which one was it?
I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Yep, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Also one that I picked.
Yeah, look at that. So funny, one of the friend of the podcast sent us feedback on that episode because he was like, actually, the other football player in that was Fred Williamson.
Yes.
So, because apparently we were like, which ones was it? But yeah, Jim Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And he was said, what did he say to him? What you gonna do? No. Is that what he said? What are you gonna do about it?
I mean, there was a time where people really revered Jim Brown. I think that's what Pryor bringing him up speaks to.
Yeah.
He was the guy people called in. He was sort of socially active. I mean, he's in a different space now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Has he changed?
Wait, does he have a MAGA hat?
He does.
No.
Oh,
That was a joke.
Does he really?
I mean, you can Google him.
Oh my gosh.
I am literally doing so right
now.
Remember when Kanye was ranting and raving and guess who was sitting right there?
Whoa. Okay. Did not know that. All right, Tim, what's your favorite bit from this?
Okay, I have a couple, but the beginning was when he's talking about sleeping with the Playboy bunny. And just it reminded me of the lengths that men do to sleep with women we find attractive.
Okay.
Even though he thought it was weird, he went along with talking like a child.
Yeah.
Because she kept taking her clothes off. So he kept talking like a child.
But it might have been like an influence from his younger life. You remember he said he went through the great pussy drought of the 1950s?
Yeah.
I love that line.
Yeah.
He's pretty funny.
Yeah, that part. And then I think when he's sort of is thanking his fans for being there. And because in that moment, it clicks that he wasn't sure he was going to make it out of that sort of darkness. Like, he was really in a bad space. Physically, mentally, you're coming down off being high all the time. You're washing out from the drugs. It's probably tough to then see yourself back on stage in front of a live crowd, killing it. Like, he kills it for an hour. Like, to still have that muscle and be able to do it. So to see him up there thinking, I thought that it was really touching. To be like, oh, he understands the weight of it and this, none of this is promised. And he could have easily not been here back on stage again.
It's really fortunate that he is. And is this his first performance since all of that happened? Is that because it seemed like it was a big deal? We had Jesse Jackson in the crowd, some other
probably
famous
his first
faces.
Recorded live thing since then.
And he did. He made it all the way through.
Made all the way through.
And I appreciated that he called them out too. Like I don't know.
He knows the jokes.
That's a good point. What you're saying, the first like major because you might. Do they like maybe do clubs building up like so? He wouldn't just go straight from, I don't know, like straight from there from his mini not retirement. What would you call like when you have a break in between what you're doing?
Leave of absence.
Yeah, basically his leave of absence. You wouldn't go straight to that,
right? Because I mean, I mean, the mental toughness it takes to get on stage and be witty and be quick. I'd imagine you like can I? It's like a football player or a basketball player coming back from injury. Can I still plant like I used to? Can I still cut? Can I still dunk like I used to?
Because all that agility is your mind.
All of a sudden, it's in your mind.
Oof.
And so it's in his mind, and to see him still have that muscle. And I'm sure he got support from the, you know, younger comics at the time, like Eddie Murphy, older comics like Paul Mooney, other people who supported him.
Who was the main writer on this?
Yeah, Paul Mooney.
And I remember him from, like, was it Ask a Negro?
Yeah, Dave Chappelle Show.
From the Dave Chappelle Show and Negrodamus.
Yeah. He has a couple of really funny stand-ups, and I remember he wrote for Pryor when he was on when he hosted SNL. That was one of his things. Was like, I'm bringing my writer in to help write with me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Smart. Do that.
Smart.
Okay, my favorite part was when he wanted water and he went and got some from a guy upstage. Yeah. And he turns around and the stool's right behind him with water and he's like, was that there the whole time?
Right.
So
was that funny. There the whole time?
And
I don't think that's a bit.
You know, that's about to say, do you think that was a bit?
I think that was a bit. I think he was, it's funny to him because his mind is still trying to get back to what's happening.
Now, so, my question was it there the whole time? Or because he was like, there was supposed to be a stool with water, and then it's right there. Like,
but it was tucked back a little bit.
Yeah, it looked like as he was talking about it, they were like, "Oh shit, where's the stool with the water?" And then they like put it out because it was yeah. right in front of the curtain.
Right.
So they had just put it there. That's what I think. Yeah. But it was pretty fucking funny.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Something like an observation I have based like kind of, he was smoking. He had multiple cigarettes over the
yeah.
course of this.
Did he? I only noticed the one in the end.
I think no. There was one at the beginning, mm-hmm. and I think one at the end. But then, as I looked out to the crowd, I forgot. Like back in the day, people were smoking.
Smoking inside. Yeah.
So people, there was a bunch of people just smoking in the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's weird to think of now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, how would you do that joke now? Be like, does anyone have a match? Like,
no.
You just bring the match with you.
Yeah. Or just take a lighter and be like, what's this?
Yeah.
Okay, Kenan, do you pick another one?
Oh.
That you want to talk about? Okay, I'll pick. Okay, so another one that I thought was interesting was, let's set it up. So I got really excited because he said he lived in Hawaii for a little while. And I was like, what? I did not know Rich Pryor lived in Hawaii. That's awesome. And I was excited to hear him talk about it, but then he didn't. But then went from there into... He basically brought up Hawaii and then went into going to Africa.
Yeah.
And talking about being around people who are brown and like yeah. majority. And it's like, yes, that is exactly right. Hawaii, it's different.
That was really funny when he was talking about how he can sleep at night a little more comfortably when he was surrounded by brown people. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about, you hear some white people out in the distance saying, yeah.
You get nervous. Yeah. So then he's talking about Africa, which I thought was really interesting. And I appreciated everything he said there. I mean, I don't remember laughing a whole lot during that conversation or that discussion, but it was funny. And then he went into animals, which was fun too.
Yeah. Actually, I think that's another one that I remember either him, I think it was him, talking about going there and realizing that you're just another black guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not the train of jokes he went when he's talking about going to Africa this time.
Yes, it kind of was because he was like, you're just another guy. And then he looked in the phone book and didn't know anybody.
Yeah, but it's not the jokes that I remember from him talking about Africa. So I think that there's... I'm going to look up this other stand-up. We can do it sometime.
Okay. Yeah, and Tim, I remember when you went to Africa, that was what you talked about, was just like... And we talked about this in the Black Panther episode and then Wakanda and being like, there are full cities in full this cities. World where you are not the minority and
it's,
you could just live your life as you.
It's difficult. I mean, you stand out as an American.
Right.
But it's a difficult adjustment when you come back.
Yeah.
You know, this is something I've actually wondered. And you say you stand out as an American.
Yeah.
But over time, is there a specific look to like black Americans who are part of the transatlantic trade who have been here long enough that there's kind of a mix of different people from different regions? Like if you go back, is there anybody that looks like you? Not just skin tone wise, but like looks like
features?
You. Yeah, I don't know if I'm getting across quite what I mean.
Like there's a culture we have because as black Americans, we're always trying to piecemeal our culture, right? We come here through the transatlantic slave trade. We're disconnected from our origins in Africa. And we're trying to figure out, we're taking part of American culture, part of the African culture that we remember, that we have, and other things from Southern culture. And we're trying to figure out what our culture is. And it's something that's always growing and bending and melding. And that's true when you're there, because they're very much firm in their culture. And you're sort of like a mix of a bunch of different things, which is part of African culture, obviously, but some of our traditions, but also not. And it's apparent when you're there
mm-hmm.
that I'm an American and you guys are African. And I'm sure if you live there long enough, you'd assimilate some.
Mm-hmm.
But there is definitely just little things like shaking someone's hand and they hold your hand and they talk to you. That's cultural when I was in Ghana. Everyone does it. So when we're shaking hands and we're talking, I'm holding your hand, so you can't like not look. You can't look away from me because I'm holding your hand. Mm-hmm. So it forces you to have like direct eye contact with people, and you get back here and people don't make eye contact with you. Hmm. Yeah. Little stuff like that, that you remember.
Well, in some places you go, people just stand closer to you. Oh, and yeah. Stuff like that.
Space is different.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. All right. What other things do you guys want to talk about from this?
That was it for me. I thought it was really enjoyable. Like it's 50 minutes, a little bit of an hour,
somewhere around an hour. Yeah.
About an hour. It sort of, he gets right to the jokes. There's not a lot of dead moments. It's consistently funny. It's still funny all these years later. Mm-hmm. The jokes still hold up. There's little of it that feels like it has to be a joke told in 1982.
Yeah. So you asked, there's a couple of other, like when he was talking about how people love fucking, we fucked through the Carter administration, right. And then all of a sudden everybody wants to stop because it's the Reagan administration. Yeah. Like, I kind of understood the joke, but like without being like in there.
Yeah.
Knowing, like really feeling, and then.
But it made sense. It made sense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure. And then his suit. And how Billy Dee would be able to pull off the suit.
Yeah.
So, what was Billy Dee's status at the time?
He was the Colt 45 guy.
Yeah, Colt 45.
Oh, that's right. He already was.
He was a smooth black man with a voice.
Actually, in 1982, he was also Lando already.
Yeah.
Lando, he's in Jet Magazine every other week.
You know what I mean? So, who's like, his equivalent now?
I don't know if there is one.
Mm. Okay.
I don't know who that would be.
It's a different world.
Those type of celebrities now burn out. You're hot. You're on Instagram. You're hot. You're in movies. You're hot. And then we're on to the next one. We find the next guy. But during that time, like, you had to go to a certain space. We only saw Billy Dee on TV. We only saw him in movies. We only saw him in Jet Magazine on these ads. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't a bunch of, like, I can watch Billy Dee's workout. I can watch him. The like Rock, maybe?
I was going to say, I was thinking maybe Jamie Foxx.
No.
Somebody who's just, I'm trying to. Who's woman? Wow. You said no so hard.
No, because I think
who's cool? Like, they're just cool.
I think it might be Michael B. Jordan.
No.
Probably The Rock, because universally, people think The Rock is cool and people find him attractive. And that was Billy Dee. Everyone thought Billy Dee was cool.
No. So I'm going to have to say no on The Rock.
People think he's cool.
And attractive.
Yeah, no. I agree with all of that. But the Billy Dee thing has a smoothness, kind of like, what do you call it? Cognac, like some sort of smoothness, sort of
refined,
yeah, just, you know, with the jacket, you've got the big coat that's not at, your arms aren't actually through,
maybe Denzel.
With the hat, yeah,
maybe
like
Denzel,
that could be.
It's because I think it's an older generation of men who pull that off.
What about Will Smith?
No, you're wrong. It's what's my man's name? Why am I spacing on his name?
Give me
from Jurassic Park. What's his name?
Chris Pratt?
Who was just in Thor Ragnarok. We're just talking about it.
Chris Pratt?
No. What am I spacing on his name?
Oh. Wait, he's not from Jurassic Park.
He's the first Jurassic Park.
Oh, Samuel?
No.
Is he a black dude?
The scientist?
No, yeah.
Wait, who is he in Thor Ragnarok?
Why am I spacing on his name? There's only one person who's in Thor Ragnarok and Jurassic Park.
No, because I think that who you're talking about wasn't in Jurassic Park.
He was.
All right, well, what I'm thinking of Luther. Thor Ragnarok.
Hold on. I'm looking at his name right now.
And why did I just...
I don't know
why. Idris Elba?
No.
I think Idris Elba, actually. Idris Elba is my answer now.
Okay.
All right, hold on.
All right, well, you're looking that up. I'm going to go on to the next segment, but intro... Oh, no, you found it. Okay.
I found it. Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum...
You are right. Except for he's kind of... Part of his charm is kind of that he's a little odd.
But he's smooth.
Is he? No, he's not. Because he's known for the...
I do not know a woman who does not find him some level of attraction.
You're right, but he's not smooth.
I don't know. I've seen him. I've seen him in his maybe not in his film, but I've seen him in his interviews. That man is smooth and can dress.
Hey, a great. And has a style. No, you're right. And they have a Lego version of him now.
Yeah,
he got style too.
Well, we talked but about his tattoos.
Did we already talk about that one? Okay, yeah. No, he's that's a great video.
People keep putting his face on them, tattooing his face, and then there's a video of him
judging them.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, like there's one of them that's like a Jeff Goldblum raptor.
Yeah.
Like combination.
Wow. Maybe Idris might be a good choice.
I'm gonna go with Idris.
Yeah. Speaking of, have you watched Luther yet?
I've seen the show before.
No, isn't the new one out?
No, not out yet.
Oh, okay.
I've seen the show. I love the show.
You almost coming. Like my heart it's almost.
Coming. So, Kenan, I thought it was out, and I was about to start it yesterday. I'm available because I finished Luke Cage. I was like, I'm available for something new to watch. But Kenan's not home, so I need something I can watch without him. Because I did. I was
Luther's scary though. I don't know how you watch it without Kenan. Some of those killers are terrifying.
My theory is that it's one of the best Batman adaptations.
Yeah.
And so they don't come across to me, and I'm wondering if Shalia, if you're agreeing, they come across to me as almost a little comic book villainish, as opposed to if I'm watching Hannibal.
Gotcha. Okay, that's fair. Or Mindhunters.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay, so I have a couple more discussions to have on influences, but I do have another, just like one of the bits that I wanted to ask about. Okay. So I'm going to start with that. And that's Mudbone. So everyone wanted him to do Mudbone. They called it out and he's like, okay, this is Mudbone's last appearance. Who is Mudbone?
I have no idea.
It's the character that he's playing.
Yeah. It's like his alter ego. It's not a real person.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an alter ego. And when he's talking about like this guy that he's talking to who's all messed up, is that Richard Pryor?
Yes. You know what? You know what? If this is Eddie Murphy, he's... Or at least in a movie, he's putting on a different face.
Yeah.
To play this character.
A fat suit and a beard and a wig.
I'm thinking like the old Jewish guy at the barbershop.
He's come to America.
Yeah. So this is him, yeah, taking on a different persona. And it was like a really famous part of his act.
Yeah. I don't remember ever seeing that or where it originated from. I should ask my dad.
But the way he says something, like he kind of changes his drawl and was like, don't let him get that powder.
Okay, I've Googled it, and he's a wino philosopher born in Tupela, Mississippi. Is the character is a wino philosopher.
I'd forgotten because I Googled it earlier today just for that.
Mudbone. It's such a black nickname, too. Mudbone.
So, I was like, what is this? I don't understand. Somebody.
Because no, you know what I'm thinking? When I was hearing it this time, it was making me think of Redbone and Mudbound.
Just mush them together.
I don't understand what's going on. Okay, so in terms of influences.
For sure.
We've already said some of the other comedians, but I saw non-comedian influences in this. Like when he's talking about the N-word and how he's like, I don't see it there. I don't see any N-words because there are no N-words. And then he's like, I'm not using that word anymore. And didn't Lupe Fiasco have a song?
A lot of people go through that.
Yeah, I loved it though. Like I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. Like I like that song. Yeah. And then, she is a comedian. But so, you know, that's right. You were talking about the suit, Kendon, and Billy Dee Williams. And he's like walking around in his red suit. He's like, I'm going to get buried in this suit. Or he made a joke about being buried in that suit. And remember Tiffany
Haddish? Because the wife, don't kidnap me. But my wife basically won't pay for the ransom.
Yeah, and like this is what I'm gonna be. Oh, I guess I didn't get it. I thought he just really liked his suit, and it reminded me of Tiffany Haddish with her dress from, what was her dress from? The award show, and she wore it on SNL.
She's like, I'm gonna get married in this dress.
This is an expensive dress. I'm wearing this dress as much as I can.
But also the suit. Yeah, this is '82. Eddie Murphy shows up in '83 with a red leather suit for Eddie Murphy Raw. So definitely influenced.
Wait, when did the Thriller come out? '82.
Thriller? No, 85. We did this. We 85? Did this last year. Thriller. I think it was after this. Around the same time.
I don't know that I've ever put the two in my mind like side by side, but is the...
Thriller was 83.
Yeah.
Is the Thriller suit look a lot like the Eddie Murphy leather suit?
Yeah. Except for it has a bunch of zippers. Mm-hmm. Like Mike saw it and was like, that's fly. But I'm going to do my mic thing to it and put a hella zippers on it because I got to dance.
So you know which came first?
I don't know which one came first. They both came out in 83.
Okay.
Cool. Other influences? Anything else you want
to
add?
All the other stand-up comics who look up to him, like you talked about Chappelle, these other people who took his sort of style of self-deprecation, storytelling, this sort of raw honesty where you're sort of like an exposed nerve out there telling jokes and... sometimes at your own expense, but being honest and feeling like you can connect with people. I think other comedians have taken that and sort of run with it. But he was one of the best at it. And still, if you watch this, it's 82 and it still holds up.
I was a little nervous about watching it because I was like, okay, it's 80s. It's been a while since I've seen it. I don't know how offended am I going to
not
be.
Not a lot of problematic stuff
not
in
there. Not too much. I did not like all of the women talk. Like, I was like, okay, you're kind of being a jerk right now.
Wait, the white hunky bitch part?
Yeah, I forgot about that part. Yeah, there's that part.
Yeah, like his number of wives and all of that. And didn't you say, Kenan, he was divorced within that year?
Yeah, the wife he was talking about, he divorced her within a year. Mm-hmm. Of them.
You said she stuck with him through all of this.
Yeah. And I mean, they, you know, probably dated for however long. He was married 6 times. Wait, did I get that right?
He was married 7 times to 6 women.
To 6 different women. He got married to the same woman twice. He has 7 children.
What a life, man. Yeah. Prior. They're doing a movie about him, too, a live action movie.
Oh, who's playing?
I like it.
I think Mike Epps.
Sure. No. Well, okay.
Mike can act. Yeah. And he kind of looks like him with his hair blown out.
That's so I was thinking about. I was like, okay, let me think.
Was he tall? Really? He seems like he was probably a tall dude, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Did you notice his shoes? I forget that like some men's shoes have heels.
Yeah, yeah. Weren't they like silver or gold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There, definitely, like, there's a little bit of a heel to it.
That was definitely the fashion back then.
So funny.
Yeah, for sure.
So, anybody else famous that you guys noticed in the crowd other than Jesse Jackson?
Definitely Jesse Jackson.
But I definitely rewound. I was like, wait, because I didn't know that from before.
Yeah, definitely Jesse Jackson.
Who'd you recognize?
Jesse Jackson, and then there were some other faces I recognized, but I didn't know who they were. I was just like, this person, I think that person is familiar.
You think Jim Brown was there?
They didn't show him, so I don't think so.
No.
Anyway.
No.
Okay, well, do we have anything else for this episode?
The last thing was that guy looks like Joe Frazier.
This is really funny. Yeah. So, Richard Pryor live on the Sunset Strip, classic, or
was
past
that what we were going
it?
With?
We're past it.
Past it.
It's past it, right?
Past.
Classic it. Or past it?
Yeah.
It's a classic for sure.
Classic.
Classic.
Yeah.
This is our first classic all around.
No, I don't think so.
I think so.
Was it Rambo?
I think we all agreed on Rambo.
Yeah, we agreed on Rambo.
Okay, fine.
First Blood.
First Blood. First Blood. First Classic. Okay, fine.
Yeah. First Blood.
Because who drew First Blood, Shelia?
They did, apparently. But literally, it was literally Rambo was the first one to make people believe.
Sorry, maybe I shouldn't drag this back up.
I don't get it. Okay, friends, thanks for listening. If you want to support us, please give us a rating. Also, I think I've forgotten to say this the last couple times, but we also have a Patreon account. So if you want to donate and give us some assistance, that would also be very, very welcome.
Yeah.
You can listen to us on pretty much most podcasting platforms. And then all of our episodes, if you want to go back a whole year, is on Podbean. Yeah. MIT80s.podbean.com.
Correct.
And then if you want to contact us, we're at mit80s.podcast@gmail.com, and we're on all sites of social media, and we'd love to hear from you. Thanks for your support. And next week, is my birthday episode. I
thought you were doing Superman there.
Yeah. That's where I ended up. That's not what I meant to do. And so, reveal, it's The Little Mermaid, 1989. So,
all right.
You're welcome, friends. Enjoy Little watching Mermaid. That. Hope you enjoyed this episode. And, Kendon, what will we be?
We'll be back.